that shows that there'll be a future time when they'll serve as well. I looked over in the book of Revelation in the 9th chapter, and there were 4 angels loosed that was appointed for this day, and it says there was 200 million soldiers that they would command. And not only will they command these 200 million soldiers in the future, but they'll kill a third of all mankind. And then you look over in the book of Revelation and you go to the 19th chapter and the 19th verse, and then you see where there's a huge army that's gathered. It says it's under the authority of the beast. And it gathers kings and it gathers his army. And he's going to have one last battle as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings comes, and he has his army. And how many knows whose army he's going to... I mean, he's part of that army, let me see. Yeah, we'll be saddled up. And I don't know if we get a white horse or a paint or what we get, but he's going to be on a white horse. And I like what one preacher said. He said, I want to get so close to Jesus, when he comes time to mount up, he'll say, get off my horse, boy, that's my horse. And I want to get that close to the Lord. How about you? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go to Luke, the 7th chapter, and look at the life of a soldier, of a good soldier. And let me read you something that came off the internet. One of our relatives sent us this. This is the USS New York, made from the World Trade Center. Anybody read that? It says it was built with 24 tons of scrap steel from the World Trade Center. It's the 5th in a new class of warship designed for missions that include special operations against terrorists. Isn't that ironic? It says it will carry a crew of 360 sailors and 700 combat-ready Marines to be delivered ashore by helicopters and assault craft. Steel from the World Trade Center was melted down in a foundry and somewhere in L.A. It says to cast the ship's bow section. When it was poured into the molds on September 9th, 2003, those big, rough steel workers treated it with total reverence. We called Navy Captain Kevin Wensing, who was there. It was a spiritual moment for everybody there. Junior Chavers, foundry operations manager, said that when the Trade Center steel first arrived, he touched it with his hand and the hair on the back of his neck stood up. It had a big meaning for all of us, he says. They knocked us down, but they can't keep us down. We're going to be back. The ship's motto was this: never forget. And I thought, you know, that's somebody that's ordained today. And this ship that was melted down, this metal that was melted down from the Trade Center and poured and made this ship that's battle ready to go and fight terrorists. I thought, you know, God just has a way, doesn't he? Sometimes we think, you know, this life is so unfair and people, you know, are unfairly treated and abused. And God, will you ever balance the scales? And the answer is yes. And I'll tell you who's going to do it, partly to use it, is soldiers in the Lord's army. Soldiers in the Lord's army. Look with me in Luke, the 7th chapter. Now when he had concluded off his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom you should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not afar from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well, who had been sick. I thought it was interesting that God would pick a Roman soldier. And how many knows a centurion? I was talking about, they know their rank and file. How many, you know, one thing I notice about military people, when first thing you do is what rank are you? You ever notice that? And then they say, and then they give numbers, and I don't know all the numbers, but they'll give, I'm an E this, or, and is that consistent across the military?
Amen.
Okay. And so you all understand. And I love that about the military, because Jesus said, and the Bible says, you know, in God's kingdom, they have soldiers, there's some apostles, there's some prophets, there's some evangelists, and he gives us rank and order. Now, at Calvary, how many knows the ground is level? We all come in the same way. But here's what I've noticed about a good soldier. A good soldier, do you notice in here, he didn't say, man, I'm a man of great authority. The first thing he said was, I'm a man under authority. Everybody say, under authority. Listen, whether you're in military or you're in business, and some young achiever comes up to you and says, well, what authority do I have? How many knows a red flag should just go up immediately? Because how many knows they should be saying, what responsibility do I have? And this man recognized, you know what? I'm a man under authority. I'm a centurion. I'm over 100 men, and I know my place of where God has put me. And how many knows it's not about how many, but it's, are you taking care of what God has given to you? That's what really matters. And how many knows if you're really taking care of what really matters, people just know. They know if you love them and if you have their best interests at heart or not. How many work in an environment and you can tell your supervisor, you know whether his or her heart is for you or really for them? It doesn't take very long to tell, does it? And this man said he had a servant, and one of the translations talks about it being a young servant, and maybe paralyzed was what one commentator was talking about. And he was near to death, and the Bible said he was ready to die. In other words, this is a natural progress. This is taking place, and it just with all accounts, this man should be going to his grave. But how many knows when you really care about someone, you'll take the extra mile? A good soldier will go an extra step. How many has ever read of Michael Abershoff? You ever read his books? I think I gave Dave one of them. He's a captain in the Navy and took the worst ship in the Navy, and in a few months, within months, he had it to one of the better ships and into the Navy. And he did it by listening to his men. Young men, he could have done whatever he wanted to do with them. But he listened to them because they had knowledge and they had expertise in their certain field, whether it was communication or whatever it was, they had expertise. And he would take them and he'd respect them and sit down and listen to them. And all of a sudden, he would take their advice. And sometimes he would even kind of go against the military code. You know, Jesus did that all the time. Peter and Paul did that all the time. That's why they were always in trouble, because they were soldiers under orders and under conviction from the Holy Spirit. And they're like, we're going to follow God whether you do or not. Let me ask you this. Remember who was there and present and leading and helping and even beating Jesus Christ when he went to the cross? It was soldiers, wasn't it? Fulfilling biblical prophecy. Now you say, well, that's in a bad light. It is in a bad light. But they were fulfilling biblical prophecy by being there at the cross. Wherever you look, soldiers just show up. Every time there's a big major event, soldiers just show up. It's the same way in God's army. When we're listed in God's army, and we die to self and we begin to hear the voice and the direction of God, and all of a sudden we just show up. Remember the little granny that Jana was talking about? Had been run into by a young man? He had an encounter with God, didn't he? He saw for the first time maybe somebody that loved him, that showed him grace. She's a soldier in the Lord's army. Remember last week I told you rank and order? There was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, praying grannies and then bishops and elders and all the rest. There's something to that, isn't there? Yeah. There's something to that, because you know why? They put in their time on their knees before the Lord. They begin to listen and hear from the voice of God and know that there's a God in heaven and that they're under orders. Thank God for praying grandmas. Thank God for prayer warriors that'll pray and say, what I do makes a difference in the kingdom of God. So they were there. They were there when Jesus went to the cross. They were there. And they were there when grace came to you and me. They were there. You remember when grace first entered into the Gentiles? Remember who was there? Look with me in Acts the 10th chapter real quick. Acts the 10th chapter. You ever think it's kind of odd or strange that when God was going to bring in grace to the Gentiles, that He didn't pick a pastor's home or some other religion that was seeking truth or some scholar or some... He could have picked anyone. He could have picked someone that had a lot of clout and authority and had big herds like Abraham or whomever. But when He got ready to bring in the salvation to the Gentiles, guess where He went? He went to a soldier's house. Let me ask you something, soldiers. Do you think God could bring something great in and through you? Do you think He's, I'm just a soldier for the Lord? Well, thank God this one soldier said, you know what? I love and adore God and I honor God. A Roman soldier. In fact, he was a centurion. Almost makes you want to be a centurion, doesn't it? All these good things happening through centurions. And so his name is Cornelius. Look with me in Acts 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. Now watch this in verse 2. A devout man, one who feared God and all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Here's a soldier that's ordained by God to bring in the grace that we enjoy as Gentiles into the kingdom of God. How many is glad for soldiers today? For soldiers that will say, you know what? I will pray. I will seek the face of God. And God can do whatever He wants through me. He could have said, well, you know, I'm just a Roman soldier. And I'm just over 100 men. And I can't fathom God bringing this thing called grace in through my household. Let's go over to the religious community. But he accepted what God had for him. It says in verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and will tell you what you must do. Now watch this. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a what? A devout soldier. A devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And he sent these men along with another devout soldier. Listen, what I really want you to know today, if especially our military people, is this, that God has ordained what you're doing. Now, I think there's people just like that get in the ministry because it's attractive and they're not really called. But for you that are in the military and you that know it's a calling from God, I just want you to know today, it's ordained of God, and never limit what God can do in and through you as an obedient soldier of God. Do you notice what the centurions had in common? They were always praying. And Janet mentioned today the value of giving. They were always giving. Back in Luke, the 7th chapter, you notice when the men, that he picked out Jews, this centurion that said, "My servant's sick," he picked the elders of the Jews and he said, "I want you to go and represent me." If you go back in Matthew, I think it's the 8th chapter, it talks about this, tells this same story. And in Matthew it says, he went himself and he talked to Jesus. But in the commentary that I read, and really just knowing Scripture, because how many knows, when Peter comes to Cornelius' house, he said, "You know, it's really not lawful for me to be here in this house talking to you today." You do realize that, don't you? And he wasn't trying to be haughty. He's an apostle of God. But what he's trying to say is God is coming in and he's breaking all these customs and traditions and he's bringing the grace and love of God to you today. And so he says to him, they said to Jesus, they said, "Here's a man, this centurion, his servant is sick, and he is well deserving of you to come." And then they give two reasons. They said, number one, he loves our nation. How many know people know when you love them? People just know when you love them. You know, one of the things that Jim and I have been facing on the bus is really getting respect from the kids. And in our prayer meeting this morning, we had discussion about the kids. And Adam said, "You know, they're coming along and they're being more respectful. And it's getting in, the kids that we bus in." And let me tell you about these kids. They don't have a lot of, most of them don't have a lot of help and encouragement when it comes to serving God at home. But they're coming. And so we fire up the bus, me and General Jim. He's the general of transportation. And Captain Jack, I get on the bus. What's the bossiest person in the military? That's what I am, whatever that is. That's what I am on the bus. Maybe it's the drill sergeant, you know. Because I'm telling you, you have to, you know, but one night I remember we were there and talking about love and their nation and loving them and where they are. That's important, isn't it? To go to where they are. That's what Jesus did every day and as our commander in the Lord's army. He went every day and he just touched somebody right where they were. He went to their level and touched them and loved them and showed them grace and love right where they were. And so one night I remember we had a come to Jesus meeting not long ago, and I said as we parked the bus at the school, we always pray when we get out here and we always pray when before we let them off the bus, and I remember saying to them, I said, "You know, we don't have to do this and we really need some feedback to know, because I feel like on that bus we're fighting a spiritual battle just like you do in your daily walk, and when it comes to sickness attacking your body or whatever it may be, something attacking your finances or your home or whatever, there's spiritual warfare going on the bus. And the reason it is because, you know what, they need to know that I love them and that right where they are, I'm going to be there for them and help meet their needs and see if I'm different from the world." How many knows if you know you're under orders and under authority, you can? When we forget we're under orders and we're under authority, then we won't. We'll just act however we want to act. We'll just be whatever we want to be. If you act negative to me, I might just act negative back to you. But if I know I'm under orders and under authority from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that says, "Love your enemies." But Lord, do you know what they did to me? Yeah. Do you know what they did to me on the cross? Love your enemies. See, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we have to know we're under orders. We have to know where we are and where we stand in the body of Christ. There's times when we have meetings and elders meetings and things, and we have to deal with issues and budgets and different things and say, "Well, what can we do and what are we going to do and what is what's going to, you know?" And we have to establish all that in the kingdom of God. And there's times when you'll have meetings in your house and you'll have to say, "You know what, am I going to do what's righteous or am I going to do what I want to? Am I going to do what's convenient for me to do?" We all battle that. And so in that sense, we become soldiers. And what we could learn from Cornelius and what we could learn from this other centurion in Luke, the seventh chapter, is this. You know what? They were devout men that loved God and loved people. If we'd been living in the day, it would have been we'd have been blessed to live under either one of these men. I mean, we'd have been blessed. Because when they looked at you and they said, here's the orders, you could just know that it's not from a selfish perspective. It's from a loving heart. Remember David, the king, the warrior, one of God's greatest soldiers ever to live. Remember how he came on the picture that day in a powerful way, and he was made known through killing Goliath that came out and cursed God and defied the God of the armies of Israel. And little David went out and he found his rocks and he put them in his shepherd's bag. And by the way, he got 5 rocks. How many knows he wasn't sure the first one was going to do the job? You know, we always look at David and think he's so confident and cocky. And he was confident. But you know, he did put some extra rocks in there just in case. How many knows when you're serving God, even in His army, you need to allow for a little bit of variation? Have you ever thought this? When you're serving God and you're on a mission, and then all of a sudden you come to this why and you think, I'm pretty sure God wants me to go this way. Ever been there? And then you're like, is this God or Memorex? Huh? And so David, he puts the extra rocks in his pouch and he takes the battlefield under command. He's a soldier under orders. He's not, and here's the opposite. Here's what everybody else was at that camp. They were soldiers under fear of man. Listen, that's where we miss the mark, is when we fall under the fear of man. The fear of economy. The fear of economy. I don't know if you know or not, we're having a vision stewardship campaign around here to remodel God's house. And some of you are under the fear of giving. Because what if I give and I just don't have enough, you know? But just give them. What if you do? Sometimes we won't give up a Pepsi to help bless a starving kid. Sometimes we won't trust people. Sometimes we won't trust God enough to say, I forgive this individual that's hurt me. Because we'll say, well, what if they feel like I'm letting them off the hook? And we're more concerned about their feelings than we are about the commandments of God. I'm talking about a good soldier. They don't do just whatever they want to. They're under orders. They're under authority. And they know their place in the kingdom of God. And so this great, mighty King David, one of God's greatest warriors, he said, is a man after my own heart, is what he called him. Remember the day that he was on top of his palace and he was looking around and he got up from a nap and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba and he's just smitten by her. And he calls for her. And all of a sudden, David is not a man under authority anymore, because when he called for her, he found out she's married. And he dropped all of his orders from headquarters. And he took up, well, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. How many know you are the king of your castle and you can do whatever you want? I heard a man say one time, you ask a preacher, he was preaching in a revival, big into deliverance and stuff, and this Christian man that had been wound up and caught up and entangled in sin, he looked at this counselor and he said, can a Christian have a demon? Isn't that an odd question for a Christian in a revival? That's what he asked him. Because he was feeling, he was tore up, and his home was tore up, and his life was tore up. And he said, can a Christian have a demon? And I'll never forget what that man told him. He looked at him, and he said, a Christian can have whatever he wants. I thought, wow. Wow. And by the way, this man had the same problem David had. He had battled with lust for years and years, and still was fighting it. And he asked this man, he says, the Christian can have whatever they want. That's why he said, it's best if you want to live is to die. You know, if you really want to be a good soldier, you just die. You go and crucify the flesh, and then you will find life, he says. And so David yielded to lust, and this man that could take down a giant couldn't conquer his own lust and his own desires. And so now all of a sudden, he's getting ready to go through hell, if you will, because of his choices. Isn't that strange? And then you see people like this man, this centurion man, that he's devout, he fears God, and not only that, but his whole household has caught on because of his influence and his love for God. And not only that, but the centurion in Luke, the 7th chapter, he's not only loving God, but he's doing more than just saying, I love the Lord. You know, how many knows, there is one thing to say you love God, and it's another thing to do the will of God. And so they go to Jesus in the 7th chapter of Luke, and they say to Jesus, this man, you'll want to take this call, Lord. This man is deserving. I thought about that when I was studying. I thought, what do people say about me whenever I need prayer and they hold me up before the Lord? Do they say, you'll want to take this one? What about you when people are holding you up in prayer? Have you invested enough into them and give them enough of your time and your resources and your life and invested enough in them that they'd look at you and they'd say, you'll want to take this one, Lord? Or are we so busy in our daily agenda just trying to achieve what we need to achieve for ourselves that when our name is called up before heaven, it's like, well, yeah, remember so-and-so, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And it really doesn't depend on how good a person is that you are. What really matters is what you've invested in them. That's why people that crushes your heart to die is the people that's invested in you, isn't it? When Miss Dorothy is singing about my buddy and my friend, and you could feel from her heart that somebody is invested in her. And people that invest in you make a difference. And they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you want to take this one. This guy loves us. Oh yeah, he's an authority. But when he comes and Jesus comes, he said, I'm a man under authority. Big difference, church. I'm a man under authority. See, people under authority, well, I think that's what made David so unique. Remember when Saul was hunting him down? Here's another soldier trying to kill one of his own. Remember what he said? He repeatedly said, I will not touch God's anointed. How many knows? It would have been real hard to see much anointing on that man. How many knows if somebody's trying to take your head off and they've already tried to pin you to the wall with a javelin, how many knows it would be really hard to see an anointing in the natural? But that's what he kept repeating because he was a man under authority. See, some of you that value authority more than responsibility or being under authority, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if your boss aggravates you, makes you mad, you start spouting off things. Never thinking about what it's going to cost you. Never thinking about it. Remember what goes around comes around, the message? It's coming back, baby. Just wait. Somebody under you is going to spout off because you've been opening. You open the door. And so we can learn from these men. You know what? I need to be a praying house. I need to be a loving house. And I need to be a giving house. The centurion with the sick servant, he said, Lord, you want to take this one. He not only loves us, he built us a new church. He took his money and built us a new church. How many watched the OSU game last night? They had Boone Pickens on there. Boone Pickens, I don't know how much money he has, but he has a lot. But he has about $70 million less than he did a few years ago. How many knows why? Because he gave it away to the college. One of the commentators asked him last night, he said, Boone, he said, you've really inspired me by giving all this money. And he said, well, first of all, I gave to the geology department, is it who it was? He said, because that's my love and that's my heart and that's my passion. And then he said, I gave to the sports complex and to the sports side of the college because I hate to lose. About $70 million. You do hate to lose, don't you, baby? I mean, that's proof in the pudding, isn't it? And they said, well, how much will you spend to get a winning team here? He said, whatever it takes. I thought, send us some Boone Pickens here at Prayer of Faith. You know, and I think, here's a man that, you know, it says charity covers a multitude of sin. Now, you can't get to heaven by buying your way, but it's just a gauge. I thought this man honored a spot on national television because he had invested what he had into young lives. And you say, well, it's sports. Yeah, but that's a part of theirs. That's the Backuses over here. Their young daughter just graduated from OSU, and that's a chapter in her life she'll never forget. And she enjoyed part of that facility and some of you that send kids there and people that will invest. That's what good soldiers do. Good soldiers just invest. It's not about me. It's about giving. It's about helping and investing in others. And this is what both of these centurions did. And one of them has a miraculous healing for his servant. And the other, Cornelius, the grace of God that would be poured out that we enjoy today came through Cornelius, a soldier that was devout, that loves God, and gave himself for him every day and was on his knees because he knew where the real battle was placed is in spiritual battle, not in the physical fight. See, if anybody on the battlefield the day of David, when David faced Goliath, if they had been on their knees and won it spiritually, they could have got up and walked out like David did. Remember what David's words said when he said, I come to you in the name of my commander. I don't come with a spear and a sword. I come to you in the name of my commander, in the name of the Lord. I come to you. That means you can go fight when you know who you're fighting for and what you're fighting for. I appreciate our young men and women that are fighting today. And I appreciate some of our seniors that are fighting today. Our seniors are already gone today. You know what, though? They come and they sit long as Miss Alice can sit. And she's the matriarch. And when the matriarch says, I can't stand the pain anymore, they get up and they all exit out. Huh? Lucille, yes, I'm sorry, Lucille. And so Miss Alice said the other day, she said, somebody asked me, well, why do you go by and get her? You have to leave early and you have to... She said, because that's what I can do for her and the Lord. How many of you would love somebody enough to say, you know, and they sit on the back and they don't bother anybody, but they come in, they sit long as they can. See, they're still under orders. They're still coming. And in fact, they said, really, Miss Lucille can't really even hear most of the sermon because of her hearing. But this is the Lord's day. And so she comes. Somebody sent me an email this week about a 70-year-old woman that wanted a baby, and so they went through fertility drugs and all this stuff and said she had a baby. Said a few days later they sent her home and her friends all came over and they were all excited for her and they said, man, I just can't believe this. We're going to see your baby. Said 70 and you have it. That's awesome. She said, well, you can't see it right now. I said, well, let's just have a cup of coffee and talk. And I said, okay. And so they had a cup of coffee and talk. And they said, well, let us see your baby. She said, well, you can't right now. Let's just visit a little more and catch up on some things. And so they visited. And she said, we want to see your baby. Can we see your baby? And then she said, no, we can't see it until it cries. And they said, well, why can't we see it until it cries? She said, because I forgot where I put it. And he feels like that soldier sometimes. This week, Friday, I was supposed to go get a projector. I mean, notice their little yellow dot up there. And it's about to die. It's just about gone. And so Rex made all the arrangements. He said, all you got to do, Pastor, is go pick it up. No problem. Friday, I'm studying. I never think about it. Last night, I was studying, looking at this lesson. I thought, oh, I forgot to pick the projector up. And I don't know why it came in my little pea brain, but it did. About 10 o'clock last night. And I thought, man, I forgot. And I feel like that. But you know what? Here's what I want you to know. You know, we all have excuses. We say, well, I don't have 100. I'm not a centurion. I don't have a department I look over. I don't have. You know what? You influence and you do battle where God placed you. And just figure out where you are on the rank. If you're not a centurion, maybe you're just a new private in the Lord's army, or you're just a new recruiter. But you know what? You're something in God's army. You're something in God's army. And I appreciate Miss Dorothy coming and the investment she makes in you all and singing. Still giving out, see? That's why you're appreciated, because, you know, we know that, hey, you're not the youngest spoon in the drawer. But you know what inspires people? It's when they see someone that says, I got a gift and I use it for Jesus, because I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. And that's what touches our heart. This morning my brother Randy came up to me and he said, you know, Pastor, every Sunday I come, I count it a victory. He's been battling and battling sickness, but he's in the Lord's army. He's under orders, so he keeps coming. He keeps coming, and God keeps blessing. And that's the best you can do, is what has God given you? What is your orders? And then just be a devout Christian. Be a devout soldier. Amen. I want to finish with reading you something here. When Paul writes to Timothy, he says this to him. He says, you therefore, as in, if you don't have any turn there, but 2 Timothy 2, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I mean, knows this is not a cakewalk. It's not always easy being obedient to the Lord. He said, but this, he says, and here's the key, and this is what the two centurions knew, I believe. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Because life, how many knows, has a way of getting you tangled all up. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen, don't get too tangled up in life. Because he said, if you do, you'll miss it. The two men that we studied today, they were constantly praying and giving of themselves for the kingdom of God. That's the two primary keys of a great soldier. So, be a prayer warrior so you can hear what God wants you to do. You'll know where you're at, your position in God's army, and then go out and give yourself away, pour yourself out for the kingdom of God, and see what God would do through you. It may be a miracle for one of your friends, or it may be flooding in the grace of God to a new generation that's on a bus one Wednesday night. You never know what God's going to do for you. Father, thank you, first of all, for all of our military men and women that are here today. We ask you to bless them for their sacrifice and their giving. We ask you to bless our military that's throughout the world protecting us right now and fighting for righteousness and fighting for the rights of people that have been just literally abused and suppressed and depressed and mistreated by dictators and terrorists and those that would come in and try to terrorize families and cities and countries. Bless our men and women in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for each one of us in this building today. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. And I ask God that you'll help us to never forget that we're under orders from headquarters. The Bible is our manual. You gave us this book of instruction and to to help us find our place in the kingdom and our call and our position. And our position on issues. And you teach us in this manual how to pray and how to seek your face and how to find your will. And then you said when we seek you, when we find it and we do it, it pleases you as our commander. So today I ask in Jesus' name that you'll help us to be men and women under authority, under obedience, that we'll not be entangled with this world, but we'll have enough time to spend before you saying, fill us, Lord. And once we're full, we'll go out and pour ourselves out and give ourselves away to a lost and dying world, knowing that today we're going to make a difference as we serve in the kingdom of God and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, we'd invite you to either come or lift your hand and we'll pray over you today. Any needs today? Okay? Anyone else? Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for those hands that have been raised. We ask in Jesus' name, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we lift them up to you and we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would come today, that these are your servants. That you would take time to come today and to heal their needs and touch them where they are and bless them and meet every need they have according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. These are servants, Lord, that are here every week serving you and serving in the kingdom, and they are deserving. God, they have put in the time and the effort. They have walked the miles and prayed the prayers and been faithful stewards over your kingdom, and we ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Minister to their needs only as you can in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in advance. Amen.